If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hello, everybody out there. Barbara, and I'm filling in for Robert today. He kind of had an emergency that he had to tend to, so he may be back before the end of the show. But for now, you guys are stuck with me, and I hope I do good. There's just so much going on in the news that this past week. My head is just spinning. I don't know about anybody else's. But with the bombing that started on Monday, my first feeling, I was numb because I knew we were under attack again, not knowing who was attacking us, but it brought that 9/11 feeling back. And I was numb, really sad and scary, you know, like what's going to happen next. And then the next day, the fire and explosion in Texas. I could be wrong, but I could be right. One just never knows. Think that sometimes it's together. I don't know. I don't believe in coincidences. So, like I said, I don't know. Investigations will definitely see. Hopefully they'll be good and not what I fear the most. But there's just been so much going on. And I want to start with the Saudi student that was here that was hurt in the blast in Boston, and he was a person of interest at first, where he was being guarded at the hospital, and somehow now he's being deported under security related grounds. I don't know. I got the blaze up, and it was from Thursday that the Saudi student connected to the Boston Marathon bombing set to be deported under security-related grounds. The update was congressional source confirmed it. The documents have been presented to Congress confirming that plans were made to revoke the visa of Abdul Rahman Albi, and I'm not even going to try the last name, but he is a Saudi national, once considered a person of interest in the bombing. It's really scary. And the source says that the file was created, and at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, the official said that the National Targeting Center of Counterterrorism Subagency of U.S. Customs and Border Protection and the Department of Homeland Security, they filed, the file stated that the individual is linked to the bombing. Why is he being deported and not being investigated? That really, really scares me. It worries me. Why do they just let these people go? I don't know how many of you have heard, but one of the bombers, and I don't know, I don't remember off the top of my head which one it was. I think it was the older one that was being questioned. No, actually, I'm sorry. It was the younger one. He was being questioned by the, sorry, I can't type and talk at the same time. Robert is okay. It was a family member, so we'll find out more later if he should come back on. Anyway, he was questioned a couple years ago and investigated by the FBI and let go. So how much of an investigation was he involved with? What was he involved with? Don't know. But more will be revealed because now the FBI, you know, and this is another thing that really gets me is the FBI is under, this is under Obama's administration, the FBI let somebody go, that blew us up. It just baffles my mind. It makes me angry that they allow all this to happen. The government thinks they have our best interest at heart, but we know better. Anyway, I do have a caller at 706. So, hello, caller at 706. You're on live.
Who are you?
Who am I speaking to?
This is Ron.
Hey, Ron. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
What's going on, buddy?
I don't know. Fred trying to talk me down off this aggravation I have, but I don't. I like the fact that both these terrorists have been caught, one of them dead and one of them in the hospital. But I tell you what I don't like about it. I don't like one guy having a million people cowed into staying in their house, scared to death to come outside. I don't care if the government asked you to voluntarily shelter in place or what. Whoever heard of sheltering in place before yesterday or the day before? I never heard it. And when you look it up and try to do a search online about it, you find out that they've been using it for a little while, and they've even got signs made, like traffic signs, yield signs and stuff that for sheltering in place. What's up with that? America don't shelter and cower because there's a crazy guy out there. We take our guns out and go kill him. What's up
exactly
with Boston? Isn't that supposed to be the home of where the Tea Party started? Good
but I do believe in that area, Ron, they were allowed to have guns. I think it's against the law for them to have guns there. And
of
you
course,
know what?
That's carrying Kennedy land. How in the world could you even have a gun up there? They're scary and loud.
Yeah, but you know what? The one good thing, I kind of agree with you, but the one I feel anyway, the one good thing that came out of that was that everything, you know, the cops were around and they searched everybody's yards and the boats and everything, and nothing else was moved in the area. And then when they said, okay, come on out, it's okay to come out, then the neighbor, you know, the one homeowner came out and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, my shed's open, there's a blood trail. And they called it in, and we got some help. Well, the people helped, and they called and said, hey, look, this is not right. And they came back and got the guy.
I mean, this is a free country still for a little while anyway, if I'm not misunderstanding things. But I just don't, it's almost like martial law was being practiced up there. They said, well, let's see if we can get people to stay at home by telling them that they voluntarily stay at home. You know, this is one of those things where the government got to step in and save the day. And people got out in the street and had a big party last night over the government saving them. It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, totally. I don't know. This plan of theirs worked. They got the guy. But the thing for me is, these were just kids that were used as pawns. There's bigger fish out there. And I'm thinking the uncle isn't so love America. Them guys, those kids were losers. I don't know, but that's just my feeling. I totally understand where you're coming from, Ron, on that. They do strange things. And let's hope that it never has to be done again.
I agree with that.
Okay, and I have another caller at 317, and we'll bring 317 on. Hello, area code 317. You're live on the air.
Oh, cool. This is Robert.
Oh, yay! Hi, Robert. Welcome to your show.
I'm still not home, and I don't even have a computer with me, but I'm in
okay.
The car. I thought, what the heck? They can sit in the hospital. I don't like hospitals, so I'll sit in the car.
Oh, well, I'm glad you called in.
You know, the thing that I was thinking about this, and I was going to bring this whole thing up when I was going to do the show, during this whole period of time that we've been listening to what's going on, they've come up with four or five different stories as to what the heck is going on. And, you know, first off, it was they had somebody arrested who was a dark-skinned individual, and then all of a sudden they were just a person of interest, but they were somebody who was from a prominent Saudi family, and then we had some guy from Salon.com that was talking about how the media, you know, he was talking about how we were all hope that the media was all hoping that it was a white American who did this. And then all of a sudden, person of interest was no longer there, and they were going to deport the guy. And then they weren't. And now all of a sudden, it's what Michael Moore says is an American. And so, you know, I can't really say if I believe everything that's going on, because I think they have kind of screwed the story around to the point where unless we were actually there, we have no clue what really happened, because they've given us four or five different stories. And, you know, it's the same thing as the other stories that have come out through Obama and his administration, you'll come out with one thing and then all of a sudden find out that that wasn't popular with some of his people. So he changes his ideals and changes his story. And then all of a sudden we've got a story that doesn't even resemble what happened in the first place, and nobody really knows what the heck happened.
You're right, but I personally don't believe anything that comes out of the White House because they're all full of crap. Especially Obama, because they are going to be, no, actually it was Janet Napolitano that first said that he was with the Saudi that's here on a visa was involved with it, with the bombing, and they were holding him, and then as he was the student. And they are going to be sending him back, but they're revoking his visa. And then Janet Napolitano said, "Oh, he had nothing. He wasn't something with the bomber. He was just something was wrong with his visa." So he's a security risk in our country. And they're going to get rid of them. And why do they think that they have to protect us by not telling us what's going on? That really gets me mad.
I don't really think it's that. I think they think we're just stupid and we'll believe anything that they tell us, even if the story changes 180 degrees in the process of telling it.
Yeah, but you know what the big thing is with all the new media that's out there, they dig to the tree. And they get more truth than lame street media. Now also, this I have not heard, and I don't know if anybody else has heard it, but this article is from March 27 of 2030, not here yet. And this is from CBS in Hanover, Mass. Investigators are trying to find out who is making and setting off homemade bombs near a section of Route 53. Residents in the area have reported loud bangs and flashes of bright lights. On March 12th, police found two unexploded bombs in a wooded area near Pine Street and Tower Hill Drive. Captain Jim Gallagher says they went to the they want to get to the bottom of this, of who is making it. They were simply small cardboard tubes. They filled what appeared to be flash powder. They were sealed at the end with wax, and they have fused inserted. Gallagher told the radio station, "We are concerned they are able to get the components on the internet fairly readily, and that's what's making it easy. Some of the devices have gone off while the homemade bombs are small, and they are powerful enough to kill someone. Our concern is there could be others that we're not finding that someone else could encounter, a child, for instance. When they're contained like that, they have a considerable impact, I believe a large enough to be fatal if handled the wrong way." Gallagher said the suspects could face years in prison and fines if caught. Now, this was from a month ago, and nobody has reported it. Very
interesting. Well, you know, the thing that the media is constantly, I think, is counting on is the fact that Americans for some reason seem to have a very short memory as to what is really going on, especially if a new story about something comes out. And not many people will question what was said before not matching with what is being said now. And I think if people started questioning this, which I think the people like you and me and the others in the new media are questioning, but the majority of the people, I think, in the United States are still not listening to us. They're listening to ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and all those people, and they're getting their news from them. Well, consequently, they're sitting there thinking, okay, well, they got these guys, and they're Americans, of course, just like Michael Moore said they would be, and all this happy stuff, and they're not taking the time to stop and think about what the heck is actually going on and how many times this story has changed over the past week.
You're right. And when they do get questioned, those questions get swept under the carpet as if we are the dumb ones and don't know what we're talking about. And that's what we fight with. We fight with the mainstream media. I mean, I get on all the time, and I get onto the media Facebook pages and start putting facts up there and back it up with facts. And they don't even, it's just really quite funny because the libs that are on those pages don't even believe the facts. When they think I'm crazy, and I think it's pretty funny, actually.
I do too. I remember when I first started my blog, I had this one liberal that just constantly would berate me and everything else, and at that point in time, I was still kind of getting started, and somebody could give me this story that would kind of halfway sound plausible, and it would make me think a little bit until I started, you know, actually thinking about what I should be thinking about. But I had this black lady who lives in Texas, and she was the one who actually taught me how to talk to them. And, and about that time I decided that what I would do with my blog is I would, when I get a reply, a comment, I would reply to that comment. And I've had some pretty heated comments and discussions that have come out of liberals where I've completely hit them with something totally different from what they believe, and I'll get called every name in the book. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. I was at work during, well, I've been working all week, but during the week, a couple people were talking to me and telling me how government should be doing this and should be doing that. And I pulled out my handy dandy little pocket constitution and I said, this is the job of the government. And I put the constitution down with the Bill of Rights, and somebody's like, oh, well, how old is that? Does it even have any of the new amendments in there? And I'm like, it sure does. And they kind of, actually, one of the guys kind of goes in his office and keeps his door closed. When I'm right, I'm right. And I have the facts.
They don't like that either.
Oh, no, they don't. They do not. You know, it's kind of amazing. You know, and I'm just pulling up all these articles. And, you know, I just want to change the topic for a second, because we won. We did not let the government do their little gun registry and their big background checks. We got to enforce the laws that are on the books, not add any more. And Obama came out crying, basically, after he exploited the family. And that makes me sick. And I don't know where he's thinking 90% of the people wanted this. Who was he asking? The people that think there need to be more gun laws in, like, Chicago? I don't know. We have the laws, they're on the books. And he even admitted Obama, when he was crying in the garden there, even admitted that it wouldn't stop things like this, Newtown, from happening. He admitted it. He said it. So why are you going to... It just doesn't make sense to me. Does it make sense to anybody else?
Hey, well, I don't know if it makes sense to me, but I pretty much know why they do that. What really caught my attention was the fact that Obama got mad when his bill was not passed. And the whole thing just goes down to the point where he's the president. He feels he can do anything he damn well pleases, and especially since we elected him a second time, we really have not seen anything as to what is coming. And he's going to do some of the things that I have a real fear that he's going to try. He's going to try because he feels he has the mandate to do it because he was reelected. So therefore, he has the power, which is, in that one word, that's what they want, is the power. And because we reelected him, he has that power, whether we think he does or not.
Right. And they need to know, and they need to be put in their place by saying, they work for us, we don't work for them.
Exactly. And you know, they think that we're there so that they can be our bosses. And I think Chris Rock said it. He says he's like our dad. We have to obey him. No, we don't. I don't really care what the heck he thinks. We do not have to obey him because we're the ones who are the bosses, not him.
That's right. And we pay his salary.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for the American people, all this money that he wants to spend and feels he has a right to spend wouldn't be there. And I've always kind of wished that we could just sit back and say, okay, I'm not letting the government have my money today and get away with it. You know, I can't really say too much about it right now because since November I've been out of work, so I haven't paid any taxes, well, with the exception of things that I've had to buy.
Am I still muted?
No, Ron, you're not muted.
Am I not muted?
Can I
say something real quick?
Sure,
Robert, what you're talking about, you're walking all over a big post that I'm making. I've been working on all day. I've got Obama's speech, his tirade in there, and I'm working on taking it apart piece by piece. The guy is a nut, and we elected us a nut, and we deserve everything he does to us, I guess.
Well, that's what he feels.
And he's going
to
make
us pay. I don't mean to walk all over your post.
That's a fact. I think it's funny, but...
But actually, the thing is, we didn't vote for him. I guess maybe because people didn't vote for a president, period. Maybe that's why, he was voted in, but we also know that there was voter fraud, and we also know that. Oh, absolutely. So he really didn't win by fair and square. You know, there was nothing fair about this. And we just have to keep doing what we're doing and put these guys in our places and not allow them to walk all over us. And come 2014, and we all have to be out there plugging away because we've got to get rid of the old. We need new blood in there that knows what this country needs. We need to get back to the Constitution and our rights. And we need to cut the government.
I totally agree right there.
because it did come out a couple of weeks ago when Obama put his budget out that there are several groups in within the government that do the same damn thing. But only one group doesn't talk to the other group, so they're clashing. They need to condense and get rid of. Because this is where all the tax money is going. It's being wasted. And then they have those that are sitting there watching porn on our dollar. So anyway, that's...
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, Lady Michelle was just saying we do need voter ID laws. And they're trying to push that here in North Carolina. And it looks like it is going to be passed. Even though people, there are those that think it's racist and blah, blah, blah. However, if you go to the bank, you need a photo ID to cash a check. You go to the hospital, you need an ID. You go to an flying somewhere, you need an ID. You know, there is absolutely no reason for somebody to not have a photo ID. And
absolutely.
And actually, I was listening to our governor, Dan Forrest, yesterday. He's on one of the radio stations that I listen to here. And he said it looked like a big go. Now, what they wanted to do was the people that are here illegally, but people like with green cards who could be here but not vote, they wanted to make their that was driver's licenses, I'm sorry. People, illegals to get driver's licenses, but they wanted to make them pink. So they stand out that they can't vote.
Crap.
And I have to look that up. But they wanted to do something, and they were all like, oh, yeah, that's pointing them out, saying that, you know, they're bad people. Well, you break the law, you're a bad person. And I don't get it. I don't understand what these people are not understanding about. Illegal. You break the law.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing I always tend to, and I've railed about this ever since I can first remember. You know, if the person, when they come into our country, if the very first thing they do is illegal, that makes them a criminal.
Exactly.
Why are we kowtowing to them every time that they decide that they deserve rights about something that it takes us to, takes the rest of us all of our lives to get, but they can get in immediately because they illegally came into our country and they need it.
Right. I've heard people say the illegals are law-abiding citizens. And
yeah, right.
No, they're not. That's why they're illegal. If they were law-abiding citizens, they would not be illegal.
Well,
so
you know, the other thing that I keep hearing about is all the people who come here legally. They're getting pissed about all of this, but you don't hear about any of this in the news media because they are not going to report that. It goes against their agenda.
Absolutely.
But I've talked with a whole bunch of people that, you know, because I grew up in New Mexico. I was down on that border for a long time. And, the people that down there that would get pissed because all these people would come across illegally and then expect to have something for it. And then there'd be the other people who'd come over legally and gone through the whole process and taken the time to get through this whole process, which took a while. It was some of those people just wanted to get a gun and go out and shoot them right between the eyes. And I don't blame them.
Yeah. Okay. It is 34 minutes past the hour, and I probably have a commercial to do. If you want to call in, give us a call at 718-305-7176. and I don't know what this is, but I'm going to go ahead and play it anyway. Wish me luck here.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Oh, barf. And what about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear. We were about to head home after a bonfire, and Smokey said the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Okay, and we're back. I'm Barbara Buffing, and I'm filling in for Robert, who is actually here on the other line. So go ahead, Robert. Take your show away.
Yeah. Sitting in my car. Yeah, today's actually a pretty nice day. I've got one of the windows down and everything. Yesterday it snowed here.
Oh, my goodness.
And tomorrow's supposed to be in the 60s, so it'll be another nice day tomorrow. But it feels like it's about 55 right now, the sun's shining. So. But I was looking at an article by investors.com, and I printed it up yesterday. And this was before they started talking about how these guys that they've arrested, and one of them's dead, of course, but you know how they're actually Americans. And Michael Moore tweeted that, oh boy, they're Americans. I'm so excited. But investors.com did a piece yesterday, I think, and it talks about the media bias. And the headline on it was, sorry, media, no white Tea Partiers were involved. And it kind of strikes me funny that they put this thing out, and then all of a sudden Michael Moore comes up and says, two Americans bombed Boston Marathon. The rest of the world, you are safe. You know, through his Twitter account, which I thought, you know, he's such an idiot anyway. And they always show pictures of him in a baseball cap with a D on it. So I guess that stands for Detroit. I don't know. But he's always holding an American flag, which kind of makes me want to take the handle of that flag and shove it right up his...
yeah.
Something. But he's such an idiot, and I'm in the process of doing a post on his tweeting like that, and the only thing that I had to say about it was that if he had any brain cells at all, he'd realize that he's an idiot, but you know, maybe he's waiting around to grow one, but I seriously doubt if that'll happen. I don't know.
He's sort of a puppet.
Well, I don't think he's smart enough to be a puppet. I really don't. I think he's just been fed all these lines for so many years that what he thinks is his brain thinks that's the truth, and everybody else is a liar.
But that's what the rest of the mainstream media does.
Yeah. But off of Breitbart, I found an article about how the FBI, and this was after all of these other stories came out that, he was a dark-skinned individual and that he was from a prominent Saudi family, and then he was a person that had been a suspect from the very beginning, and then he was just a person of interest, and then they were going to deport him, and he wasn't anybody of interest because they knew he didn't do it. I found an article this morning that came out late Friday that says the FBI admits it interviewed Big Brother Boston Marathon bombing suspect. This whole thing just stinks to high heaven of conspiracy. And I hate to use that word because, all the conspiracy theorists are going to come out of the woodwork and say, oh, my God, you think it's a conspiracy. Everything's wrong with you. But how can you think of it any other way? They come out with all these stories, and each one of them is so different from the last one, but we're supposed to believe everything they say, even though they're lying from the start.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And some of the media is starting to talk about that now.
I noticed.
Yeah, but not to the extent where it really needs to be. We need to really investigate it a little more as to why was he let go.
Well,
wow.
I think a lot of the things with the media, if they accidentally happen to come out with a story that's really true, and the rest of the media will sit there and look at it and say, no, wait a minute, he shouldn't have said that. That won't help our cause. And they'll come down on this guy for it, and then all of a sudden he's the butt of everybody's joke, and he doesn't want to be, so he changes his story.
Yeah. But the lamestream media, I'm actually, as we're talking, Robert, I'm looking for that article about, because I had it earlier, about the FBI having the brother and questioning him, and they said, yeah, I guess he was okay, and, they investigated supposedly and let him go.
Well, I've got a piece of paper here. It's at www.breitbart.com/big-government, and there's a dash between big and government, /2013/04/19/FBI, and then it kind of goes off. the edge of the paper, but it's off of Breitbart.com.
Okay, there's big government.
Yeah.
I'm in Breitbart.
Yeah, but it's on Breitbart, and I actually found it this morning, so I know it's still there. But I was actually in big government when I found it, and it was one of the little headlines off towards the middle of the page when I found it. Actually, when I first found it, it was at the top of the page, and then it became one of the little headlines at the side. And they're talking, there's a whole bunch of things here about, on the most popular parts is Boston police scanner, massive shootout in Watertown, and then Boston bomber bombing, David Remnick waxes sympathy over evil. But it just blows me away that they think they can get away with this and everybody's going to believe them. But the sad part about it is a lot of people do.
Yeah, that is the sad part. And actually, I got this up. Late Friday, the FBI finally admitted that it had interviewed the older Boston Marathon bombing suspect who was killed by police early. But see, I don't know that he was killed by police. From what I was hearing was they were throwing bombs out the windows of the car, and the younger brother ran him over.
Yeah. You know, and the next line on that was the FBI reversed itself after their mother told Russia Today that her son had been monitored by the FBI on Skype. You know, so, you know, even the FBI is reversing itself on things that they're saying. So how can we believe anything they're putting out there?
Well, you know, that's what I was saying earlier. They come up with this stuff, and people like Breitbart News, they go and investigate a little further, and we get more of a truth that comes from it, rather than just what they're saying.
Yeah.
And the mother and the aunt were saying it was a conspiracy? Come on. They were caught in putting the bag down by that 8-year-old boy that was killed. It was right there on video. Really?
Yeah.
Alleged? And that's what gets me about this justice system. Alleged. He allegedly did it. Well, you saw him on camera. Allegedly,
but you got
my
him on
ass.
Camera, yeah.
Yeah, allegedly my ass. He did it. And, yeah, I have that whole article
well,
here. Thank you. Go ahead, Robert.
It's just really, I don't know. I was thinking there for a while that I was kind of happy that somebody had called and said we had to go to the hospital, so I couldn't do the show because I was so pissed off when it was coming up on the time that I needed to get ready to start doing my show that I doubt if I'd have been any good at all because I was so mad of some of the articles that I was seeing that were completely contradictory to everything that I had heard a day before. And then seeing that thing about the FBI reversing itself and everything else, you know, what my first thought was, I guess they think we're totally stupid and we're not going to notice all these discrepancies in the way what they're reporting and everything else. I was pissed, and I could hardly see straight, let alone try and get into my show and immediately start talking about this crap. And I don't like using words like that, but that's exactly what this is.
My
and
guess
the sooner we
is
start
they're
to
trying
realize
to...
this.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just said, you know, the sooner we stop and realize that that's all we're being handed here is a bunch of crap, the better off we're going to be because we need to wake up. And we need to realize that this country's in real trouble. And the farther we allow these politicians and the news media to pull us down farther down this road, the harder it's going to be for us to bring this nation back to the greatness of that she once had. You know, and I keep hearing people talking about how we need to start a third party and all this stuff. Well, I remember back when Reagan was running for president, and I've mentioned this over and over and over again too, but this same thing was out there then. We need to start a new party. The Republicans have left us. We don't know, you know, all this happy crap. And Reagan said, no, what we need to do is take the party back. And he did. You know, it didn't last very long. Well, it lasted a while, but you know, that's what we need to do now. We don't need to rebrand the party. We don't need to change the party. We just need to bring it back to to the way it should be.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that we definitely do. And, you know, and all this talk about starting a third party, I think if we start a third party, that'll be the death knell of the whole thing.
Well, I don't know. There's people on both sides that are really sick and tired of the bullcrap and the lies. I don't know that a third party would not be helpful. And that's just my thought. We'll just have to see how things are going as they go along. And the more senators and congressmen we have standing up for us will know who not to vote for at their at the next elections, and we'll know who to vote for. Because, and you know, back to what you were saying about the government changing their stories, their gig is to always be politically correct. I am not a politically correct person. I call a spade a spade. And that, my guess as to why they're going back and forth over what they're doing. Because if they're not nice, if we don't play nice with them, then something else is going to happen. Well, you know what? It's going to happen regardless. We just have to be on top of the game. And we have Boyd in. Boyd was talking in the chat room that he was listening to the scanner, and what's been reported is totally different from what the scanner had said. So I asked Boyd to give us a call to say what the scanner said. Hi, Boyd. You're live.
Hi, Barb.
How are you?
See, you're trying to torque people off again this morning, and maybe I can help you.
Oh, be my guest. I just have so much fun doing that. You know me.
Yeah. Well, when was it? Thursday night when this all started. You know, I was on Facebook and stuff, and people started talking about it, and I'm going, what the hell are they talking about? And it took me a while, but I finally turned over to Fox. And yeah, it was happening, and everything was cool. And I never linked going up to listen to the Boston police scanner, which I went ahead and pulled up and was listening to them, being a scanner idiot at times. I remember a report coming out on the news that said that they were supposedly been reported to by the police that they were not the bombing suspects. Nowhere on that scanner did I hear that those words. They said they were the ones they wanted to get. And, you know, when you start to putting those pieces together, you know, when was the last time you ever heard of somebody going to a supposedly 7-Eleven to rob it with automatic weapons and bombs at a 7-Eleven?
No.
And telling the person that they hijacked their car, that they were the bombers.
Yeah. Needless to say, here and there, you know, the only place to get half-ass accurate news was the scanner. And yet, you know, there was a lot of, you know, admitted confusion with all the cops out there trying to get their acts together, you know, trying to figure out what's going on and where all they're supposed to be looking and for whom. But that's a normal situation at the time. You know, that would be normal anywhere.
Right.
Starting to bring in a bunch of folks who are not quite aware of what the situation is on the ground. But they knew that these were the guys. Or these were the guys that they wanted for it. Whether they're everybody, I don't think so. But, you know, these were the two guys that they wanted to get.
Well, didn't one of the videos show one of the kids putting the backpack in front of that 8-year-old kid or behind that 8-year-old kid?
I don't know if there was a video, but there was definitely a still shot
right.
of it. That has the one they captured in the photo right there and a backpack or something in front of the crowd.
Right.
Well.
So, if nothing more, it just places him there.
Interesting.
But I'm sure that someplace around there probably has a photo of him bent over dropping the backpack.
There's enough cameras out there that surely somewhere on one of them is something like that.
Those photos probably won't come out until the trial or later. You know,
or never.
It could be. But, you know, if they take him into federal court as a criminal and not treat him as a enemy combatant, then those photos will most likely come out in the trial as evidence.
Well, right now they are treating him like an enemy combatant. They have not read him as Miranda, right? So I say waterboard and find out who his bosses were.
That I'm not too sure of. I'm kind of been watching Fox this morning too, and I'm not sure what they're going to treat him as. But there's talk that he will be treated as a criminal. And not a terrorist, not an enemy combatant.
He is a U.S. citizen. He got his papers. He was naturalized on the 11th of September of last year. How ironic. And at first, that's what they've been saying, is that's why they have not yet... Miranda rights, but there was also reports now that the Boston attorney wanna defend him, and
well,
it's like, really, what's the political motivation there?
It's not political, it's all financial. They get their name out there as a big-time defense attorney. You know, they can charge more, they can write books and all that stuff and put money in their pocket. You know.
Well, that could be, but it's also, they're also so liberal. It's like, okay, what is Homeland Security and Department of Justice offering them to do that? I don't know. Maybe that's part of my conspiracy theory. I don't know.
Well, I would say that he's not being offered anything. He's volunteering right now to become a public defender.
Right. Right. But, yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll see. We'll find out. But
prior to the trial, ever heard of Johnny Cochran?
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
Or what's his name? The one who, Casey Anthony's lawyer. You know, I can't remember his name, but you know, if I heard it, I would know who he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but before that happened, you didn't?
Nope.
And it's the same thing with the Duke lacrosse players, too. Who heard of that guy before that happened?
Oh, you mean the one that got fired?
Yeah, and then the lawyer who... Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just a whole big conspiracy against the rest of us, and we're the ones being labeled as the bad people.
And I agree with you there, Robert. I think there's a lot of behind the scenes And that's why little bits and pieces come out every now and then. And we never get to put that piece, the pieces of the puzzle together as hard as we try.
Well,
yeah,
well, here's my big question. The original person, suspect, person of interest that they picked up was this guy from Saudi. Okay.
Oh, the one they shipped back, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like this. Okay. They talk to him, they question him, and whatnot. Suddenly, he is no longer a person of interest or a suspect, but is getting deported. Okay. But they claim that he's free and clear of the bombing charges. Now, my question is, okay, you pick him up. You question him and whatnot, and you're convinced that he is no longer a suspect or a person of interest in a trial. You cut the guy loose. Why then would the kingdom and why would the State Department be in such a rush to deport this guy, not just let him get on an airplane and go home, but they're going to deport him? That right there does not make any sense. I mean, if I was to have brought him in and questioned him and determined that he was not involved, I'd have cut him loose. Say go about and have a nice life. Not deport the son of a bitch.
Very good point. You know, and I kind of was making that point earlier because they said Homeland Security was saying one thing and then they turned it around to say something else, and that's why we get all these different pieces and it makes it so hard for us to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's a question I think somebody needs to have an answer to.
Yeah, my husband's got a bug up his butt about that too. And because, you know, why is this like this? And I agree with them totally.
I mean, as a fair and just people here in the United States, you know, if they have no reason to hold him and he's no longer a suspect, why am I to be concerned over him? He's just another person out on the street.
Right. What kind of a security risk is he?
Yeah.
Will we ever know?
Well,
it's done every day in every police station and every town, county, and village of the United States. They pick up somebody to question them about a crime, and they cut them loose.
Right.
And the person just goes on and, you know, like it never happened.
Mhm. Yeah, absolutely.
But if they're going to deport him, then they've got something on him, and you have to be dumb not to think of it that way.
Even say he overstayed his visa, or whatever got him into the country, you know, according to the enforcement of the laws right now, they're not deporting anybody for any of that shit. Why would they deport him? Why? I mean, if his you know, if he got put back out on a street and his safety or whatever was of any concern, why wouldn't the Saudi government send him home? Why wouldn't he on his own just buy a plane ticket and get the hell out of the country? You know, on his own, not being politically deported.
Right.
That does not make sense to me.
Right.
Well, to me, the only thing about that kind of thing that makes sense, to me anyway, is the fact that maybe the liberals and the government thinks they are losing control to the conservatives, because I'm sure they've gotten so many letters and phone calls and things from people telling them that they're not doing the right thing, and they're starting to think maybe if even though it's way back in the back of their heads, they're thinking, you know, something, we have to do something here to save face, so they'll deport him and not say anything about it and figure the American people won't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it boils down to the narrative right after the bombing. You know, everybody hoped it was a white Tea Party affiliated person that did it. You know, and they're trying to convince people that it was, when everybody knew, anybody with a sane mind knew that it was most likely going to be Arab or a Muslim of some type.
You know,
they were praying for Timothy McVeigh to rear his ugly head again. However, okay, here is the narrative that they forget. The Tea Party is anti-government or smaller government and stuff like that. So if a guy was to pull a stunt like this, okay, I can't see anybody, I can see people in the Tea Party who would do some bombings or some shootings and stuff like that. However, what I don't see in those people is their target being innocent civilians. You know, if it was a Tea Party, it would have been a bomb at some federal building or something to that effect. So, and not with the intent of maiming and killing, or, you know, just maiming people like these bombs were, but, you know, with the intent of destruction and anything or any living being in that vicinity. You know.
I think the whole thing with the Tea Party, if it had turned out to be a Tea Party member, somebody from the Tea Party would have reported them.
Oh, it would have been. If they survived long enough to be reported.
True.
You know. But back to the flight of these two guys, okay? I must give a hat tip to this young kid, to Joker, for his escape and evasion tactics that he used during the whole manhunt. I will say that he was very, very good at it, very, very well trained, and executed escape and evasion very well until he ran out of steam. But, you know, his only fault was he did not escape out of containment.
Yeah.
But you got to admit that the guy was good. There were thousands of cops from all the alphabet soup of law enforcement agencies out there looking for him in a contained area. and he stayed away from him for damn near 24 hours. So,
yeah, and that's not easy to do.
No.
Right. Well, it's 10 minutes after the hour, and I'm going to have to go ahead and do a couple of commercials here, so hang out one sec, okay, guys?
Okay.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew, pew!
Wait.
Mom, what?
Huh? What? Hold
What'd
on.
You say? Wait a sec, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And we're back with Robert, Boyd, Ron on the Wise Conservative radio show. This is Barbara Buffing filling in for Robert, who is actually here, but in his car on the phone. And I'm so glad you joined us, Robert and Boyd and Ron.
Yeah, me too. You know, there was one thing that I actually brought with me was some of those liner notes for, like, the shows, and I haven't heard any of them being given.
Because I don't have them.
Well, I do. Conservatives like things to be predictable, dependable, and reliable. And like true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher still roll out Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Hey, wouldn't it be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. I actually thought to bring these things with me when I left.
Well, I
thought maybe one of the things I could at least do is, you know, because I knew I was going to call in. I knew I wouldn't have a computer, so I had a few things printed out that I could goof with. And one of them was these little things that I actually had my the LifeLock commercial printed out and all that stuff, but I left it at home. But oh, well.
Well, that's okay. You're forgiven. Oh, you know what? I do have them printed out here.
Oh,
this
boy.
Is from a while ago, though. But I guess they'll still work, right?
Right.
But that's cool. You're doing it. You're doing fine.
Well,
anyway.
I just wanted to make sure I called in because I didn't want Bing to be mad at me for missing my show again, you know, because I remember that first weekend that I was supposed to do it. I missed it that weekend because I got sick, and I remember a comment he made on the CNR radio host show. He says was something like, oh, darn it, something like that. And so I knew he was kind of upset a little bit about that. So I figured, you know, if I could get, you know, somebody to fill in for me while I wasn't there, and then I could call in while I was sitting in my car.
And look at that, it's working out just fine. It's all working good. I don't know how good I sound, but...
Oh, you sound great.
It's what it is. Actually, while we're on that subject, Duke, with his Radio Free America show, is moving to Wednesday night starting this week. He was on Monday night, and now he will be on Wednesdays. So tune in to conservativenationradio.org at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central for Radio Free America.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention that. I was thinking about it, too.
There we go. See, I told you, it all works out at the end, doesn't it? It's not the first time I've been winging it. But,
one of the things that I've always done, and I've done it since actually the beginning, is I will print out a whole crap load of paper. So I've got like 50 sheets of paper to look at and see what I'm going to be talking about, because my mind will go blank. Just, you know, it might be old age setting in or something like that, but my mind will go blank, and I'll have to have some paper in front of me.
Yeah, I try to do that too. Now, I'm going to bring Ron back in for a minute, because it is important, and this, I've been hearing about it, but I don't remember it, so Ron just dropped the link in about from 9/11 attacks. So it shows, documents show FBI helped Saudis depart after 9/11. I don't remember that at all, but this was from March 28th, 2005. And the Saudi families in Los Angeles and Orlando had requested the FBI escorts out of concern for their personal safety in the wake of the attack. The document...
Can I jump in here, Barbara?
Yeah, absolutely. Please do. That's why I brought you in.
Let me filter through a little bit of it. If you go to that website, it's freerepublic.com/focus/f-news, but it's on the chat room. You can get it. But if you look a little bit down the page, it says, if we look just a little bit down the page, you'll see that it says that FBI officials were angry about this Freedom of Information Act allowing Judicial Watch to get this information. And it says that the Saudis chartered flights arranged in the days after September 11th terror attacks, when most aircraft were still grounded, long have been a topic of allegations related to close family ties and associates of President George W. Bush and the Saudi royal family. They let them go home, you know. I remember this happening. I remember all the stink that was raised over it, and then everybody shut up about it. And then in 2005, apparently, it's when it came back out. They let the Saudis go then. I wonder what the difference is that the special place Saudis had in 2001 and what they've got now in 2013. They both were involved in both episodes. And we've given them escape hatches from our State Department or the FBI or whatever it is. Something fishy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think every bit of it's fishy.
So what really goes on up there? That's what I'm curious to know. What really goes on over there in Washington? What are they doing? I mean, Obama lets the Muslim Brotherhood into our White House, but closes it for the children, but opens it for a party. What? I don't get it. I think we need to do a big clean sweep up there.
Well, you know, and I think so, too. One of the things that I really enjoy is, you know, a couple of years ago, I was thinking of actually running for office.
Go
here
for
in the
it.
State of Indiana. Well, the problem is that, like, the guy that was in office as my congressman back then, he was not really conservative or Republican. And the guy who is in there now, his name is Todd Rokita, and I'm not sure if any of you guys have heard of him, but he is a Tea Party Republican. And he is really keeping his nose to the wheel on this whole thing. And I get weekly newsletters from him. I have been talking with him about getting him on the show because I think he'd be a good one. But, you know, since he came in, we've gotten rid of, I think, every Democrat congressman except for maybe two or three. And one of them is Andre Carson, who is a idiot in the first place, but all the rest of them are Republicans and Tea Party Republicans for that matter. So, you know, the state I live in is in pretty good shape. But the one that I want to move to is one of those loony left havens, you know, Washington State. And I want to move back to the West Coast. Well, I'd have my work cut out for me if I did that.
That you would.
But right now I'm living in a state that, you know, when we now have Mike Pence as our governor, who was in Congress for, I think, four terms, and he was one of these guys that was a real conservative and believed in the Constitution and was really strict about that. And now that he's not in Congress anymore, he became our governor. But the one before him was Mitch Daniels. And Mitch Daniels, when he took over from a Democrat who had this state in the red by mm-hmm. quite a bit. And mm-hmm. by the end of Mitch Daniels' first term, we were in the black again.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was thinking.
So I actually am living in a really good state right at the moment. But it's amazing because I have watched this since this whole thing started happening. We now, the Republicans, before Mitch Daniels left office, before this last two elections, the Republicans had a majority, but they didn't have a filibuster-proof majority, and so consequently when they tried to push a bill that the Democrats didn't like, the Democrats all left the state and went to Illinois for a month and a half, and that was all on our dime, of course, and the Republicans made them pay for that, which I thought mm-hmm. was really cool. But this last year, they went ahead and passed that bill that the Democrats had filibustered for by leaving the state. And this year, the Democrats couldn't have done anything. If they'd have done the same thing, the Republicans had such a majority this time that they could have gone ahead and done it without them. So, you know, which is really cool. So they had to buck up and do the right thing this time.
And that's what our state's doing, too. Our state just got Republicans in office. And to me, there's going to be a little bit of pain. And there was a couple of things I didn't totally agree with. But you know what? If that's what it is, that's what it is. You got to sometimes take good with the bad because they do have to compromise a little. But we don't have to ever compromise our principles.
Yeah, and, that's the thing where we have been doing is we've been compromising our principles for so long now that the Democrats think we need to continue doing this. But my mind just went blank. Old age moment.
Senior moment. Okay. So is everything okay over there in the hospital where you're sitting in your car?
As far as I know, it's not burning down or anything.
Okay. Well, that's
you know, if I'd have thought about it and brought my computer, I could have actually probably been used their internet.
Yeah. Oh well, but that's okay.
about the Democrats.
You know, because I've got a charger here in the car and everything, so.
Cool. Yeah, but back to what Ron was saying about them. You know, what it really makes me wonder, you know, what actually was all going on up there. And, you know, we talk about Republicans and Democrats, and it's really not so much about Republicans and Democrats as it is what's the best for the people of the United States, you know? And
the elite,
that's what gets me big time, because the majority of our elected officials don't give a crap about us. They just care about their own selfish little needs and wants, and they forget that we're the American people and we deserve answers, for one thing, and we deserve people, well, obviously, getting deported for not doing the right thing in our country. And it makes me wonder, really, what goes on up there that they think that they can deport people because they're their friends? I mean, you know, let's charter a plane for these people to go back home.
Barb?
Yep.
Okay. There's a little bit of difference in there. Okay. These people wanted to get out of the country for whatever reason, probably with safety concerns and stuff. And they paid for it themselves. The only thing they needed to do was to get the permission to fly the airplanes, which were grounded at the time. This kid in Boston is being deported. That means he's being flown out of the country on our dime, not their dime. They left on a voluntary basis. This kid is not leaving on a voluntary basis. I can remember during that time frame, we were pissed up here in Alaska because we had some people that we needed to medically fly out of here and get them into Seattle and a few other, you know, hospitals for their diseases and stuff like that. And it took a long time to be able to clear those medevac flights to get out of here. And that's what really pissed a lot of people off.
Hmm.
I mean.
Yeah,
so,
that would piss me off too.
You know, fortunately, I don't think we lost anybody due to the delays, but, you know, still, the aspect of having to do that, you know, without some expedited means of getting those clearances were just unreal.
Yeah. Ron had just posted the point, you know, everybody should be treated the same. And why does one get treated one way and another differently? And they talk about discrimination. You know, they're the ones that discriminate when they do things like this. You know, it's like your medevac flights couldn't go off, but yet others can. Because it's good for them. That stuff kind of gets me really crazy, obviously, because I'm always bitching about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to remember at the time of 9/11, the only thing we knew was that it was Arabs.
Right.
Okay. We didn't know that rapidly who they were, where they were from. But, so, in order to you know, for the safety and well-being of a lot of Arabs that were in the country at the time, they let them get the hell out. They were outbound flights. They weren't inbounds. Whereas the medevac flights from Alaska would be inbound to the United States. You know, even though it's coming from Alaska, you know, you're coming in off of the ocean into the lower 48.
Right.
But I'm not saying that.
We let them go. We let them.
That it was right or anything like that. But given the circumstances at the time, I probably would have let them go too.
Well, yeah, I guess they were fearing for their lives. But yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from and what you're saying.
I'm not trying to defend that was the right decision.
Right.
I'm not trying to defend that it was the wrong decision. I am just trying to say that with the facts that were on the table at the time, I probably would have allowed the flights to depart too.
Well,
That's all I'm saying. You know, because you got to remember that back then they were all. I mean, it was total mass confusion all over the place.
Very true.
You know,
I mean, just
imagine though. Okay, like up here, it only means to get out and go hunting and fishing, and a lot of this state is by aircraft, okay? So you go drop off a hunting party out in the bush someplace, you have no communications. The only thing you can do is make prior arrangements with the pilot to come back and pick you up.
Right.
There were hundreds of guys out there in the bush without any communications, without radio or anything like that, that were scheduled to be picked up during those 3 days that everything was grounded. And the weather wasn't bad enough to keep the pilots from not making it to the locations. All those guys knew at the time was that their pilot and their plane hasn't gotten there. And they can't talk to anybody to find out why. They can't talk to anybody to find out how long they're going to have to sit and wait it out. So imagine those guys. And then imagine what it was like for them when they got back.
Wow. Wow. That's all I could say to that one. That's just wow.
I mean, we had guys at work that were stuck out. And you know, when they got back, they had no idea. Well, they didn't have any idea whether or not they were going to get picked up at all because of the fact that, you know, if the only person that knows where you're at is your pilot, and for some reason he dies or something like that, who's going to come get you? How are they going to find you? You know, how are you going to get out of there? And then when he got back, now it's like, oh, dang. Now, how do I, you know, account for my time off? You know, that I was not at work because, you know, by no fault of my own, I couldn't get back.
Right.
So there was a lot of questions and no answers, you know, back in those days. So.
Well, I actually at that point in time, I worked for for American Airlines, and I don't know. I think I was dazed and confused for weeks after that because it's a scary situation. and with all the planes being grounded, at first people were calling up reservation department, which was that's where I was, and they were all sympathetic. I mean, there was people calling and we were crying on the phone together. And just a couple of short weeks after that, people were back to their old rude self. Like, why isn't this flight going? I mean, there was a lot of caution, a lot more caution. And what I see is happening is we are letting our guard down, and this is what's happening because we're letting our guard down. It's getting done over again, you know, and we don't need to be keeping our guard down. We need to be keeping our guard up at all times and not tempting anybody from anything. And I'm talking foreign people, foreigners that come over here. I mean, you have a record. And that was another question. I called up the radio station the other day because that was my thing that was really curious, because I was doing some research a while back about going to different countries and what it's like, how hard it is to get into other countries to do things. And the U.S., kind of, they have their little thing up there. But then when it comes to the school visa, it says, oh, it's very easy. Just fill out this form. Now, I wonder how much of a background do they do on these students that want to come here on a visa to go to school? And education is, you know, a big thing, and we can have the greatest without the liberal instructors, professors that they have over there. But do they really do any kind of a background check on these students to really know what they're about, where they're coming from, and who their affiliations are? Or do we just sit back and get screwed because we let them all in?
I think they just let them in just for the sake of education. You know, because they go with that no child left behind. Well, it doesn't matter if they're mostly adults. They're still trying to learn. So, and if we deny them access to our education, then we're denying them education that could help them in their future life or something like that.
So there we go again, being politically correct and leaving ourselves unguarded, which is my point.
Well, you know, and that point goes right along with the fact that, you know, if you forget your past, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, between the two parties, who is trying to make us forget the past?
Oh, God, yeah, the Democrats, you know, of course they are, because they're repeating it.
Well, so they want us to repeat it.
I don't know if they want it or not, but it's happening.
Well, again, let's dissect a little bit of the information that we do know, okay? We do know that the FBI had a conversation with the older brother.
Yep.
Okay, we do know that the conversation was prompted by a recommendation from a foreign intelligence service.
Right.
Okay. We do know that the brothers were Chechenian Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that information, we can deduce that the older brother was most likely considered to be a Chechenian rebel, and that the Foreign Service organization that contacted the FBI was one of Russia's. Okay, so with that information, now you bring this guy in and you start talking to him, knowing that he is a suspected Chechenian rebel. Okay, who are the Chechenian rebels fighting? Well, they're fighting dear old Mother Russia.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not fighting the United States.
Right.
Now, with that information and that conversation is probably what the FBI had gleaned, and the other intel on this guy had gleaned was that he was a Chechen rebel, and he is escaping from Russia, and he is really not a threat to the United States because he has no beef with the United States. So, what do you do with him? Well, they didn't ask for an arrest. They didn't ask for extradition. Turn him loose. That, in hindsight, right now, is a mistake. But when you look at it at the time, I mean, this was a year or 2 years ago, you know, you have to take the information that you've got and make a decision. I probably would have cut him loose and said, enjoy your stay in the United States. And not think that because he has no beef with the United States, he wouldn't do anything here. If at the worst he was to do something, he probably would have gone after Russians that lived here, and probably fight the Russian mob, which at that point in time would be a not so bad thing to have happen either. But with the information that at least we have, those would be the most likely decisions that would have been made at the time. The problem being is, you know, now hindsight 2020, you get a clear vision. Those were wrong decisions.
Well,
yep.
Don't you think that they would have this name? They obviously have the name on file, and follow up for a while, because the oldest one is going back and forth there for a little while. So his passport gets stamped. They know he's going back and forth. Why not follow up?
Well, it's like this. If he leaves here and goes back to Chechnya and commits a crime back there and then gets back here to the United States, he didn't commit the crime here. We have no reason to arrest him and pick him up. But, it, you know, should the Russians have sent over arrest warrants that they want him, or Interpol or somebody like that, which we do not know, then, yeah, there is a big mistake there. They should have pulled him off the streets. It's just like you, Barbara, if you take off out of here and go to Saudi and blow up the king and somehow make it out of the country and get back here, did you commit a crime here? No, we're not going to arrest you.
No, but my point being is they were on the radar for the FBI there, and then he went off the radar because they found that everything was okay. He was, you know, law-abiding citizen, trying to make it here in the United States, blah, blah, blah. But then he goes back and forth, and he stays over there for 6 months,
and then he comes back and forth. Come on, that would raise red flags. It should raise red flags to the officials. Because supposedly they have all this electronic information. And what do they do with it? Just like Hillary, she didn't read it. She didn't get the memo. They didn't get the memo. It's a bunch of crap. Somebody's falling. Somebody's just not doing their damn job. Either that or they're just, oh, well, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go and then we get bombed. And I'm tired of that. I don't know about anybody else. But we keep letting these people go and they keep coming back and they freaking bomb us. They come here and terrorize us. And they're threatening to take us all out. And what do? We give them freaking money and bombs and planes. What is wrong with this administration? Because they don't want to. I don't get it.
I haven't gotten that for a long dang time. I mean, that was, you know, if you remember back, Ahmadinejad said that Israel should be wiped off the face of the map. And then what do? We invite him to the UN. What, you know, what the hell are we thinking?
Oh, yeah. And what does the administration do? They send people to what's-his-face, his funeral, and they don't send anybody to Margaret Thatcher's, one of our greatest allies. What the hell is wrong with him? Well, we know what's wrong with him, but we don't. I'm tired of sitting back and standing for it, because there's no excuse at all whatsoever.
Yeah, I totally agree. But, you know, the thing when it came to Obama getting reelected, that just blew me away. I didn't think we were stupid enough to do that.
No, because it was up against the rich man, Mitt Romney. And
yeah,
people are rich. You know what? And that's what a lot of people said to me. They're not going to vote for Romney because he's got money. Really?
So does Obama.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And
what does
you
Obama
want to carry
do
it farther,
with his money?
Farther.
Obama pockets his money. Self-centered SOB that he is. Or he ships it overseas to invest it there. Because I think he got popped on that one along with the rest of his little cronies up there.
Yeah. To me, it just really...
Whoops. Robert, we just lost you. I don't know what Robert was trying to say,
well,
but
I was going to come on here and remembering a link that you put in the chat room a while back. After I say you just like pissing off people.
Did I take you off,
yes,
Boyd?
Yes, you do. Well, I think I got you today.
Well, you really didn't. Well, I'm pissed at the situation. And we've got, you know, and again, we've got to do more. I don't know how much more, because I find.
But I helped you keep your temperature up.
I know, right? Yes, you did. Thanks, Boyd. Because I was boiling over. I am. I'm just so sick and tired of being politically correct And there's actually some senators out there saying, and many people saying, this politically correct stuff is nonsense now. We've got to stop it. Oh, boy, did you hang up on me? What's up with that, buddy? But, Robert, you're back, and you were in the middle of a sentence when you dropped off. So what was going on?
Yeah, well, I lost my signal. I was talking along, and all of a sudden my earpiece says, you have 4 minutes, 4 hours left. I said, okay, I guess I'm not on there anymore.
No, but you we have 10 minutes left in the show, so if somebody wants to call and chime in, the number here is 718-305-7176. And go ahead, Robert. What were you about to say while you were dropped?
I've actually heard you tell that phone number more times than I have four times that I've had my show on this network. Because I don't think I've given it one time now that I think about it until today.
Okay.
Boy, am I remiss. But I don't know. It just... it amazes me that that we're voting these people in, but, you know, you can take it back to Benjamin Franklin. You know, after they voted for the Constitution, he went out of the building, and this lady asked him, you know, what have you given us? And he says, you've got a republic for as long as you can keep it. And, you know, I keep pushing that fact. We have a republic. And then I go, and another thing that really upset me was I was listening to the news earlier today, and there was this guy on there saying, well, we've got a democracy and we've got to keep it. No, we don't.
I'm so glad you said that. You know,
you hear that on the TV all the time, but we do not have a democracy. A democracy is mob rule, if you want to look at it that way. You know, we've got a republic, and we're losing it daily.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And how do we get it back? What more can we do to get it back? Vote out the old...
Well, I think one of the things that's hurting us right now is the fact that we've got so darn many people who are on the government take, and they look at it as free money. And the thing that we have to instill in them is the knowledge that money's not free. It's coming from us.
And they don't understand.
They may be getting the damn stuff, but it's coming out of their pocket anyway, or somebody's.
Right,
and
right.
The more people who take from the government, the less people there's going to be out here giving to the government, which means the government's going to have less money to deal with all these new people who are coming in, thinking that the government owes them everything. No, the government doesn't.
Right. And
if it wasn't for these rich people who pay everybody's payrolls and things like that, the government wouldn't have any. I'm not going to say they would be broke, because they are now anyway. But, you know, if it wasn't for all the rich people who have these businesses, who pay payroll taxes and income taxes and all this stuff, our government would have absolutely no money and would have no credibility at all.
Right. Right. And, you know, Lady Michelle in the chat room, she just typed in there that we have to get our children are our future. And that's where we can go with this message. And that's very
and we
true.
Have to.
And we
I'm
can't
glad to see she's in there, because she was there last week.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, the younger crowd is still going to government schools, but we have to still tell them and show them. Well, I know that a lot of people are fighting the Common Core right now, and I don't know how far that's going to go or what it's going to do.
I personally am not that involved in that because I don't have children in school anymore. But, you know, I'm involved with a lot of other things, so I just can't spread myself as thin as I would like to. Yeah, abolish the Department of Ed would be a good thing to do because, you know, the money, the taxes that we send to the federal government and then for the federal government to kind of say, you do what I tell you to do in your state or we're not going to give you the funds back that you need. That's nonsense. I mean, that's bribery. That's blackmail. And they get away with that for so many years that we really need good people in office to speak up for us.
And I think we're starting on that one because we, you know, we've got Ted Cruz and we've got, and I won't mention Marco Rubio because he's done some things this last week that have just pissed me off. But you know, Ted Cruz, he's been a rock solid conservative Tea Party guy. My congressman Todd Rokita, we've got Rand Paul, and then on top of that we've got Sarah Palin, and I don't care how many people say they dislike her, and you know if the left reacts to her the way they do, she's got them scared. That's just the way I look at it. And, you know, as long as we can keep bringing in people like her and like Rand Paul and like Ted Cruz and Todd Rokita and the other ones that are coming in now, I think we're going to be okay. But we're going to also have to put a timeline on this because our country don't have that much time left if we don't do something.
Right. And we have, speaking of Sarah Palin, Tuesday night on Women Patriots is our show. I co-host that show with Brenda Ward. And 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, we're going to have Kevin Scolia. He's news and sports broadcaster. And he's going to give us Sarah Palin updates. He is host on Saranet Radio. And we're going to be spending the evening discussing Sarah Palin. So join us.
Oh, that'll be fun.
join us at www.conservativenationradio.org and join in the conversation Tuesday evening.
Yeah,
we're in Patriots.
Yeah, I want to be there. That'll be a good one.
Yeah. And we do have 3 minutes left. Robert, I'm so glad that you were able to be here throughout your show because I was a little nervous there.
No, I'm glad that you were actually available when I suddenly found out that I wasn't going to be able to be here. I just was sitting there thinking, now, how am I going to do this? It's not that long to the show. And I went and typed in there, I don't know what to do, and you came right back with your reply. And I thought, okay, well, that's cool. Let's see what I can do here. You know, and I even had thoughts of canceling and stuff like this, but this is a show that could go for 3 hours easy, and
we
never
have
run
90,
out of stuff to talk about.
We have 90 seconds left, so I want to thank everybody.
You want to do the outro,
I will. Thank everybody for joining us today, and enjoy the rest of the day. God bless you all.
God bless. Yeah, God bless everybody.
It breaks my heart to say goodbye. I know that I deserve to cry. I know that see me through.
Unlucky ship is lost, coming in too late. Unlucky.